Now we will read the Lord's Prayer together, please.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. We're going to be reading 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, verses 8 through 11, I think. Disciple yourself, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him and thirst for it in your faith, and know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and support, strengthen, and establish you. To him the power forever and ever. Amen. Next, we're going to read. Will you please stand? Oh, you're standing.
We're there.
Next, we're going to read John. Thank you. Next, we're going to read John.
Fourth chapter,
verse 39 through what?
42.
Okay. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I had ever done. So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his words. He said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Essie. I appreciate you and all of our liturgists and people who serve and standing up before you in the body of Christ. That is a very daunting thing, amen. You all get kind of scary sometimes. And I know you don't mean to, but it is just a gift and a wonderful thing when people stand up before people and use their gifts. Well, good morning. Grace and peace be with you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I welcome you to St. Andrew United Methodist Church. This morning, we, as I said to the children and to those who were young at heart, we're heading down the stretch for the end of our road trip, or God's signs, sermon series, Road Signs for Life. This morning, our road sign is Wrong Way. And my sermon summary says it this way. Christian believers often settle for dismissing evil or sin in the home, communities, and even in the world. They dismiss it by putting on the practice church face. Now, I wanted to put resting church face, but the church face, and for those who know what that is out in the world, yeah, I know some things too. What Peter cautions us is that neither of these is an option for us. It is not an option for us. You may have heard the old phrase, the devil made me do it. And for those of you who are old enough, you remember Flip Wilson, who said the devil made him do everything. The devil, or Diabolos, means slanderer. He's called the Prince of Peace. We see evil all around us, and we sin ourselves by omission or commission. So how does a devoted follower of Jesus Christ deal with the reality of evil, deal with the reality of sin in the world? 1 Peter 5 invites us to demonstrate our faith to all in all we encounter. And through this, we will actively share our faith and our hope in Christ with all. Clip over the last few weeks has gone viral. It has been seen on every news station. It has been seen all around the world. Here we have a basketball coach who was giving his time and giving his talents and giving his service, and he got a little bit into his duties. And in an effort to win the game and to win at all costs, not only did he show those persons who were sitting in the stands, but those young people of whom he was coaching a wrong way. A wrong way of winning, a wrong way of being successful. Now, I know for a matter of fact that that coach did not wake up and did not go to that game, knowing that not only would this young and very excited player go the wrong way and try to shoot the basket at the wrong end of the court, but he did not know that in his fervor to keep this child from making a mistake, not only would he show something that wasn't necessarily good sportsmanship, but the thing that got me about this was that little child sitting on the gymnasium floor that was knocked down by accident by someone who was trying to give him and teach him some life lessons. Well, both lessons today, one from the gospel and the one from Peter, is all about us staying alert, about us not allowing our senses to be dulled, because this isn't the first time that something like this has happened in the sports world or in the world in general. Before I came to St. Andrew, spent a lot of time, as I was telling you, traveling. I can't tell you how many times as I got into my car, because I had an office in Manchester at the district office, I had an office at the district office in Springfield, and my main office was 126 miles away from my parsonage in Manchester in Columbia, Missouri. I cannot tell you how many times I got in my car, and my husband can attest to this, and I would start driving, and we would be going on a date night, and I would be headed for Springfield, Columbia, or Manchester, Missouri. And he would look at me and say, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, babe. I was headed for work." Wrong way thinking can happen when we are not alert and paying attention, and we get caught up in the activity of doing good without understanding that part of the activity of doing good and giving is about not allowing our senses to be dulled. Douglas Corrigan
became a legendary aviator, not because he was the best pilot in the world, but because rather than getting into his airplane in 1938 and flying to New York City, he wound up in Ireland. He went the wrong way. And he was teased for some time because he blamed it on his compass. I blame it on people getting so involved in the activity of where we're going and what we're trying to do that we forget about the steps along the way. If that wasn't bad enough, Roy, whose middle name became Wrong Way Regal, played for the University of California Berkeley football team in 1927, from 1927 to 1929. His Wrong Way run at the Rose Bowl has been cited as one of the worst sports blunders in the history of all sports. That one play overshadowed his entire career as an athlete and even his career later on after he left college. That one play, Regal's football talents, it totally ruined people's understanding of his talents. This All-American, like the little boy, found himself going the wrong way in a sport that he had spent most of his life learning to play. And that's not all. We all know about Jim Marshall, right? Who played for the Minnesota Vikings in the 1960s. He was involved in what is considered to be one of the most embarrassing NFL plays in history. On October the 25th, 1964, in a game against the San Francisco 49ers, Marshall recovered a fumble, ran the 66 yards with it the wrong way into his own end zone. Now, he recovered. The ball landed out of bounds, resulting in a safety for the 49ers. But despite his mistake, the Vikings won the game 27 to 22. Roy was forever known as Roy Wrong Way Regals. Later wrote, he was later written to and was said by Roy Regals, later told Jim Marshall, "Welcome to the club of wrong ways." Omar Asik absolutely botched a rebound and scored a basket for the Raptors during a game in November 2012 as a high school student. Scoring in your own net basket was one of the most miserable experiences that he ever had. Casting your team, putting your team behind by what you have done wrong is what all these people experience. The Rockets' big man did not let it get him down. Instead, he got back on track, headed down the court, scored a two-handed slam shot, and thereby negating his mistake. Or did he? Can we really negate our mistakes? Whether we believe it or not, there is hope when we find ourselves going in the wrong direction. Because one of the challenges for the church is that we, I believe, as leaders and pastors and teachers and Christian believers, I think we spend too much time talking about how easy it is to be a Christian. We spend too much time trying to figure out how to be the popular church and the popular people. Both of these lessons today remind us about what it means to be alert believers and what it means to be alert in our everyday lives. Not to fill our lives with so much activity and fill our lives with so much that we cannot remain alert. My brothers and sisters, what the Bible says in today's lessons about alertness is very important. God is the one speaking to us from these lessons today. being alert and watchful is not easy, and I know it, because it's so easy in our day and time to add more and more on our plate. We don't want to be perceived as persons who are lazy, especially in our culture. Our culture is a culture where we teach more and more is always better. And we don't teach about relaxation, and we don't teach about times to be still, and we don't teach each other about it's okay to turn off and tune in to quietness. We're constantly going, and we're constantly doing, and we don't think about or much about spiritual matters. Watchfulness is the key in both of these lessons. We are not watchful and alert with the company that we keep or the way we talk or even how we treat our neighbors or even if we know we have neighbors, because that's not part of the cultural norm. The way that we handle spiritual matters is usually as an after the fact kind of thinking, after we've piled everything else on top of our lives, and then we think, oops, I think I better go to church, or oops, I missed church today, or oops, I thought I was going to help out with that, but the lesson today says, you realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God. When it tells us that we are to be watchful, we are reminded that we are the temple of God. We are God's presence in the world. We are God's presence, and that's S-E-N-C-E, and present to the people, to our families, to our friends. And if we are not present, then everyone loses. No one can get to a place where they find peace when we are constantly on the move. And so during Lent, we invite you to do something different. In today's lesson from 1 Peter, it talks about alertness and watchfulness. The season of Lent is about changing our behavior, reorienting our lives, and making room for God, inviting us. And we shouldn't just want to do that during the 40 days of Lent, amen? We should always be reorienting our lives. We should always be making room for God, because God is inviting us to be in relationship, because there are evil things happening in our lives and in the world. You see, the way that we deal with sin and evil in ourselves and in the world is that we need to start separating ourselves and spending more time in those things that are spiritual. We need to ask ourselves during these few weeks that are left during Lent, what is separating you from committing to God fully, committing your time, committing your talents, committing your service, committing your money? Because wherever our service is and wherever we spend most of our time, I can guarantee you that is where we will put our money. God is into newness. And so maybe our challenge as we go forward in the season of Lent, maybe your challenge or my challenge is envy. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs. Maybe we are drunk on relationships that are not necessarily good for us. Maybe we are enablers in our own families, in our lives. Maybe it is unforgiveness and violence. Maybe it is greediness that leads to workaholism. Maybe it is jealousy. Maybe it is boasting. I don't know what it is. Maybe we are not taking good care of our bodies. And I know definitely we are not always taking good care of our spirit. I think I would be remiss as your pastor and your spiritual leader if I did not remind you once again, be alert, watch. Because today's lesson reminds us that we are not to isolate as Christian believers or insulate. Today's lessons remind us to communicate and celebrate. That is exactly what the Samaritan woman knew. Now, the Samaritan woman story has always kind of bothered me a little bit, because this woman is depicted in most lessons that I have been taught as this kind of woman that you wouldn't want your son to bring around as a date, nor would you want your daughter to hang out with. But I find that this woman is very intriguing. We usually depict her as this unintelligent, kind of theologically corrupt person. But I'm going to tell you that through this lesson about this Samaritan woman, Jesus guides us, guards us, and gives to us. You see, because another word for evil or the adversary is agasame. Agasame literally means the one who works with and in evil. And so sometimes we, in our effort to do good, we do just the opposite. We find ourselves working with and working alongside that which is not good for others or good for us. This woman, probably on that day in that conversation with Jesus Christ, probably quoted more theology than many of the scribes or Pharisees could actually speak to or speak about. This woman, she knew that there was a Messiah that was to be coming. She knew about the traditions of Jesus and of the Hebrew people. She knew that she had encountered someone that spoke truth to her, but not only spoke truth to her, but spoke truth to her in love for her benefit and the benefit of all. This was a pretty amazing and powerful woman. This woman absorbed everything that Jesus said about her. She didn't pout. She didn't get mad. She didn't try to get back at Jesus. But once Jesus opened her eyes and let her know that even her sin, what she had done, could be used if she turned it around. That she understood, unlike many people, the rituals of purity. She understood that it was necessary to worship at a valid temple. She understood the expectations of a Messiah. So she, in short, was totally versed in what it means to walk in God's way. The good news is that Jesus told her and tells us that Lent is very much about living water. It is very much about Christ being made available to us, but we need to take the time and go the right way. We need to take the time and understand that Christ is available to all. And that doesn't just mean Christian believers. I do mean all. Christ is available to the Samaritans of our day, to Jews and Christians and Muslims, to black people and brown people and white people, females and males, slave, free, rich, poor, able-bodied, people who are differently able, people who are gay or straight, people who are transgender. God is available to all. It has nothing to do with what we believe, but it has everything to do with who God is. Because God's grace, thank you for that song this morning. God's grace is open to everybody, amen? And God's changes in people's lives is open to everybody. If we only talk to people who walk like us and talk like us and look like us, God's kingdom can never be expanded, amen? God's grace is offered to all who are willing to drink it. God's grace is offered to all if the Christian believer would go out and offer it. Amen? We offer to all because God is open to all. And then we let God do the changing. Amen? We may not agree, but I think God is bigger than our minds and our hearts and our spirit. God told us to go and make disciples. God didn't tell us to go and make Christian disciples, but God said, make disciples. Make people believe that the most important thing that you can ever do is have a personal and intimate relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. The church often does that the very wrong way. And because we do it the wrong way instead of God's way, people often make fun of and think of us as hypocritical and unaware and irrelevant. We cannot give living water of our faith to others, but we can give them faith in Jesus Christ. We can become a part of God's blessing in the world. That's how we do it. We can join in the mission of God of giving ourselves in love. We can't be the people who point their fingers all the time at people. We must commit ourselves anew during this Lenten season and beyond to grace. Grace, marvelous grace. Jesus Christ in the world through us. We must have selfless, self-giving actions that point people to the one who offers life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is God's way. God's way is to offer to all. God's way is to remember that we are forgiven people and that forgiveness comes through Christ Jesus. Change comes through Christ Jesus. Unity comes through Christ Jesus and through God's people who serve and live and continue to value God's ways. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say amen. God's way or our way? I believe that God's way is the way, and that's what I'm teaching. I'm not teaching about anything in particular or any group in particular except Jesus Christ, who died for us while we were yet sinners. Yet sinners, that proves to us that God continues to reach for us. And so every time the word goes forth, I make an invitation. But before I make that invitation, I ask you to repeat after me. Gracious God, we have come here today. Sometime in our life, we have found ourselves moving in the wrong direction. Sometimes, like our little one said this morning, it took a U-turn. Sometimes, we go the wrong way for a while. Then we become alert. And we say, Lord, help me find the right direction. And so this morning, may we be like the Samaritan woman. When we realize we are going in the wrong way, that there is a right way, and we communicate, and we celebrate, and others believe. May we recognize. Like in 1 Peter 5, evil is real. But your power gives us grace, hope, and the ability to change our lives, so that we may be witnesses to others. With others. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then I make this invitation. If you are struggling with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you need a time of prayer so that God can reroute you, can have you make that U-turn, or you get that wake-up call, I invite you to come and pray. I invite you into a personal relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. I also invite you to become a part of this ministry of St. Andrew United Methodist Church, where we are continuing to seek ways to be faithful in Jesus' name, to be faithful in our community, in our homes, with one another, by lifting the name of God in and through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you can always come and pray. No one prays alone here. As you are comfortably able, I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song.
Amazing Grace, we'll sing the first.